If you would turn with me to Daniel chapter 12. You know, Kim and I don't get together and plan things when it comes to the offertory, but it seems that she's been right on track with many of these offertories that she has played. You remember the chorus to the one she just played? I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And that is the centerpiece of Daniel chapter 12. And the hymn before, This Is My Father's World, which I picked and which I had intended to connect with this as well, we have that same thought there in the third verse. This is my father's world, oh let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. And then it goes on to say, this is my father's world. The battle is not what? The battle is not done. The battle is not won yet. Jesus who died shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be won. That's the promise, and I've given away the entire oomph, as it were, of this message, this morning's message. But let that oomph then carry us through Daniel 12 as we prepare to look at it. We've spent just about 3 months now in Daniel 12. We had a little bit of a break for our Christmas season, our Advent season. And here we've finally arrived at chapter 12, which I know that after last week, chapter 11, is a bit of a relief. I know I was relieved even in my preparation as I put this sermon together. And there is joy, great, great joy here in chapter 12. Yes, there continues to be some mystery here in Daniel chapter 12, but there is joy to be found here. For the first time in a few Sundays, we are not going to break up our reading of the text. We're going to do all 13 verses in one fell swoop. So if you would read with me Daniel chapter 12. Father, open our eyes so that we might see the beauty of your word, the beauty of the gospel, and more than anything, the beauty of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Daniel 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never been seen since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, he raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. This concludes, then, our reading of Daniel. and this particularly of Daniel 12. I'm going to miss Daniel a little bit after this sermon, after we've gone through it, and I've spent hours and hours and hours every week looking at it, but we are going to enjoy, I think, where we go next, and I'm not going to tell you now because then you'll be thinking about it all through this sermon, so you'll have to wait until later to hear what we're going to be doing next. But here we have Daniel chapter 12, which is, as we've looked at these last three chapters, the last of this literary unit beginning in chapter 10. 10, 11, and 12 work together. 10 is the beginning and the introduction of this grand vision, which is primarily seen in chapter 11. And then 12, the first four verses, have the closing of that vision, and then some of Daniel's own perspective on everything that has happened in this vision up to this point. And we see, as I'll mention later, this movement from Daniel being a passive recipient of this vision then to having a more active part once again in interacting with this messenger. Our title, you will notice, is Of the End. And as we have these three chapters working together, we see that there's this focus then on what happens at the end of all of this. There's a weight that is left for chapter 12 that we don't see in 11 and in 10. And there's the weight here of comfort and of joy and of confidence that is given to Daniel. And so we have the first four verses. This is the concluding part of the vision. Chapter 12 can be broken into two parts, 1 through 4 and then 5 through 13. These first four verses bring to Daniel and to God's people hope for the end. So first we have in verses 1 through 4, hope for the end. Great trouble is promised for the people of Israel, for God's people. And this is the future tribulation of Israel. But there's hope in all of this. And we have here at the very beginning this fella who comes along, Michael. And then shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never been seen since the nation of Israel has come about. Michael has popped up a couple of times. He has made himself present not only here in Daniel 12, but we see him popping up in the New Testament as well. But here in Daniel, we've seen him show up in chapter 10, verses 13 and 21. And if you look back there, you see some of the description of who he is and how he is this one who has charge over God's people. He is this archangel, this prince of angels, who is one of those in the upper echelons of angelic commanding, who is not just someone who is sent with little messages here and there, but he is one who is tasked with guarding and protecting God's people. We see this in a good bit of his interaction, not just with Daniel, but later on in the New Testament. Let's talk for a moment about Michael. His name means, and it's a question, who is like God? Which requires that negative answer, no one is like God. And we see here a contrast between Lucifer, this one who was cast down, and Michael. Michael, whose very name bore the thought, no one is like God, and Lucifer, so that this one who's the bearer of light, who thought, I maybe could be like God. And so we see that Michael is one who takes this task of pointing to the glory of God very seriously. And he does this primarily in guarding and keeping God's people. Jude, verse 9, is one of those verses that tells us and gives us this also mysterious little glimpse into the angelic and demonic world. But we see here where Michael is one who is contending with Satan over the body of Moses. And we see here this illustration of a point that Jude is making, that the leader of the heavenly host here, Michael, as he follows Christ, is working to preserve those who belong to God. We see him show up then again, a second place in the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And here he is seen as the leader of the heavenly host, making war on the dragon and his angels, battling once again on behalf of God's people. And this is this angel, this messenger, this powerful being who is presented to Daniel. And he is the one where God says to Daniel, this one is guarding you and keeping you. I am working through this one. And we see some of this aspect that God is a personal God, and our interaction with these angelic beings and with God is not an impersonal one. We saw this a little bit also in our Sunday school lesson this morning. God is one who is personally interacting with those who are his. And this is something in which we delight. And so Daniel learns this, that Michael is on his side. As Sinclair Ferguson points out in his exposition, his commentary on Daniel, he says that the Lord's care for his people is not just some impersonal force somehow sustaining them, but God has a personal interaction with his people, both through his angels and through direct involvement. And then there's this description of the great trouble that is going to come to the people of Israel. This would have been a striking thing for Daniel to hear. No trouble like this coming trouble has ever come upon the people of Israel. And do you remember what Daniel himself has experienced? Exile. He has watched his nation destroyed. He has watched them be completely obliterated by the Babylonians. He is not one who has endured a time of peace for his people, and therefore that's the comparison that the Lord is making. But rather the comparison is, you thought what happened before was bad? This is going to be worse. So how is it that Daniel is encouraged in this? In that very, very same sentence, right following this declaration, we see, but at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And we know as we read Revelation that this is the Lamb's book of life. Everyone whose name is written there will be delivered. And this is the hope that Daniel is given. And so we see that there is hope for the end. And it goes on to say in verse 2, there's this description of many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, if this is not a promise of the resurrection, then I don't know what is. We see here the messenger bringing the culmination of this vision to Daniel and saying there will one day be a grand resurrection where all of those ever created will be raised, some to eternal life, some to eternal satisfaction and joy and deliverance with God, some to eternal punishment. Those who will not be welcomed to be part of the kingdom of heaven, but those who have been unfaithful, those who, as this passage describes them, who have been unwise and have sought out their own wickedness. Verse 3 then brings this further description of the reward of those whose names are in the book of life. It goes on to say, and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. There is a wisdom in knowing who God is, a wisdom that is provided only through the Holy Spirit, a wisdom that is only given to those who are called to be God's people. And we see that there's then a second category of people, those who are wicked. There's this thought that they will pursue wickedness. And verse 4 then brings some of that difficulty. Let's read that again. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And there are two ways to understand this command to shut up and seal the words. One way is to put them aside and let them be what they are without trying to dig too much into them. And the other one is the thought that we see in many other places in Scripture where there is a call that Daniel has then to preserve these words. This is something where he is called to seal them. He is called to make sure that these words are not those that are then just received and done away with, but those words that are kept and preserved for God's people as their encouragement and their hope. And then the second part of this is really where we see the difficulty. Daniel is told that there will be those who run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And I think it can be better understood when we go forward in our Hebrew text, just a few books in our Christian Protestant text, that is. If we look just a few books further in the Minor Prophets, we come to Amos chapter 8, verse 12. And there's a very similar passage there. Let me read that. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, going to and fro, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it." And I think this is the description that Daniel is having put before him, that there will be those who run to and fro. And yes, there is a certain knowledge that will increase, but you notice that it's not the wisdom that is spoken of. It is not a wisdom that increases, but a knowledge. And so we see that there are those who will pursue knowledge, but it is not that saving knowledge. Then we come to the second portion, verses 5 through 13. And here we see confidence for Daniel. In verses 1 through 4, we saw hope for the end. Verses 5 through 13, we see confidence for Daniel and confidence for us. Up until this point, Daniel has, the vision given to Daniel has been very one-sided. If you remember when we look back at chapter 11, there is very much this monologue where a vision is being given to Daniel. And then in verse 5, we begin to see, again, some interaction that we saw back in chapter 10. He says, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two other beings show up." And it doesn't say it explicitly, but The intimation is that these are other angelic beings. They may be human beings as part of the vision, but likely they are angelic beings. And one of them then asks this question that we read, "How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?" And then the one in linen, this fellow that we heard described back in chapter 10, the first portion of chapter 10, he responds with a fairly cryptic answer to this question of how long shall it be? A time, times, and half a time. And when we look at the word that is used, the words that are used to describe this, we see that this is a unit of one, a time, a unit of two, times, and half a time, half of one unit. So 3.5 times. And what are these 3.5 times? What does this indicate? And there are a lot of different interpretations of what it means. And we see it meaning different things in different places, even here within Daniel. We saw this show up already, this 3.5 times. And the best way for us to understand it and be able to say, here's a box that we'll stand on confidently, while there are other things outside of that box, is we see here that there is a set time. It is not an unending time, but there is a set time. But there's also this thought that there is control over this time, whatever that time may be. Control by God. And so we see these different individuals asking this question, and then we have these three times. And so there are three things that we see primarily in this 3.5 times. First, this is a set period, as I've mentioned. The Lord knows these days, knows how long it will be. Secondly, it indicates that it is limited, that the difficulty will not last forever. And then thirdly, it indicates that God is in control of this period. What I think is even more striking, and I hope you noticed it too, more striking than this enigmatic response, this promise of the length of the days, is the mark of its end, the mark of the end of these days. Did you see it? Did it fill you with anxiety and dread, as I'm sure it did Daniel? "When the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things will be finished." The shattering of the power of the holy people. Now, this is no easy thing. This is what is being described back in the first verse, a destruction, a difficulty that is much greater, that is much more difficult, that is further in its depth and breadth than what they'd already experienced. And so what do we make of this? The shattering of the power of the holy people. And we see here both the immediate and the ultimate thought of the vision and the prophecy. First was the immediate, where this was not the worst of times. You remember back in earlier chapters, we had this person promised, Antiochus Epiphanes, who brought to the people of Israel an even greater destruction than Babylon or Assyria or any of the other nations had brought against them. And we see this as part of the immediate fulfillment. We also see in this part of the ultimate prophecy that there will be one day a time of difficulty for all of God's church. And there will be a time when it seems that all is lost. There is no more hope. There is no more church. There is no more Christian faith. And it is at that time that God will bring his salvation, his glory, where he will return to bring deliverance to those who are his. And again, a lot of this depends on how you approach the end times and the study of it. But one thing we know for sure is that there will be a time of difficulty. And just as we know that there will surely be a time of difficulty, there will be a God who delivers his people. And this is the hope that Daniel is given, the hope that we have. Daniel goes on to say that he heard, but he did not understand. If we know anything about Daniel, then we know that he's going to ask a question. And we know that he's not just going to ask a question for his own sake, but for the sake of his people, which has been his primary concern through this whole book. He asks that question, what will be the outcome of these things? The first question was, when? How long? The second question is, okay, I may not understand how long, but tell me, what happens to my people? What is going to be the end of my people? What will be the end of these things? And he is given an answer that is given to us even as we look at this text. He says, go your way, Daniel. Go your way. This is not something that we like to hear when we ask a question, is it? Go your way. But this is what Daniel heard. He asked a question, and not an inappropriate question either, but one that was very likely out of concern for his people. And what he hears is, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. This phrase really does say a lot while saying only a little. There are three things that we see being said to Daniel in this. First, your job of receiving and sealing this revelation, this vision, is done. That part is done. Secondly, we see him saying, this messenger, don't worry about it. This is something that we also don't like hearing, is it? We've all asked that question where we were worrying about something and we wanted to know, and the response was, don't worry about it. I've got it under control. Sometimes that can be a relief, but more often than not, it's like, well, I'm worrying about it already, so just tell me. A third thing that we see Daniel being told in this is that thought that God is requiring of Daniel trust for his people. Daniel has been a savior of sorts for his people, one who has stood in the gap and protected them from destruction before these kings under whom he has served. And so he's being told here, trust me with the outcome of these things. I know that you want to know, but trust me with it. And then as we read on, he is given a little bit of a glimpse into what it all means. In verses 10 and 11, we see a partial answer. In 10, Daniel is told that there will be some who fall away. Not all will be wise unto salvation. Not even all of those of the kingdom of Israel, of the visible church. In verse 11, then, we see that Daniel is told of the time when the burnt offering will be taken away and the abomination of desolation will take place. I've mentioned his name already. Antiochus Epiphanes is the one who brought this difficulty for the people of Israel. We've talked about this, how he removed sacrifice from the worship of the people. And then he did his own abominable sacrificing in that place. And at the end of verse 11, we have the first of these two mysterious numbers, 1,290 and 1,335. I've mentioned this already about certain mysterious parts of Daniel. There's been so much ink spilled on how we understand these days, and there's been even more key clicks and clacks as you have this plethora of opinion that comes out on the internet and is stated as fact. And how do we understand this? Well, again, it comes down to our own shortcomings, our own inability to understand all things, and our trust in who God is and the fact that He does understand all things. And it also depends on how we approach the end times. But once again, there is something that we can plant our feet upon firmly and have every confidence in. Let's read that portion there at the end of verse 11. And from that time, the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up. There shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. Matthew 24:15, let me flip there and I'll read that, is helpful as we understand what is being spoken of. Matthew 24 is this chapter of Jesus teaching on the end times. The disciples ask a very similar question that Daniel asked. What's going to be the sign of the end? And in verse 15, then, we see Jesus responding. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, referring to this text that we're looking at this morning, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down to take what is in the house, and let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And he goes on to describe the difficulty of that period of time. So when we do understand this passage in Daniel, one of the things that we see is that it has not been at least fully accomplished, fully fulfilled by the time that Jesus comes along. He is speaking as a future thing of the same thing that Daniel spoke of as a future thing. As far as the 1,290 and the 1,335, what we see here is a promise for those who do endure past the 1,290 and arrive there at the 1,335. There is a promise, there is a hope for those who, rather than falling away during that time, remain faithful after this time of persecution. In his commentary, and we'll close shortly. In his commentary on the book of Daniel, Del Ralph Davis tells this story of a town that needed to get rid of the dogs. There were too many stray dogs running all over the town and creating trouble. And it's a bit of a graphic illustration, but he does that sometimes. And so they rounded up these dogs and they put them in this place where they were going to kill them and just let this gas kill as many of them as they could because they were strays and creating all sorts of trouble. And there was one dog who didn't die. The mayor, as the story goes on, opened the door and there he was standing there, panting, wagging his tail. And the mayor didn't have the heart to kill him, to finish the job. And so he kept the dog and it became his own. And there was a blessing that this dog had more than the others. Yes, it's a bit of a strange illustration, but the point that Dr. Davis makes is very clear. There's a blessing to those who endure to the end. Is it going to be a difficult, difficult time? Incredibly so. But the joy for those who remain faithful, is one that cannot be taken away. In closing, then, we see that the book of Daniel ends with what is one of the most beautiful, comforting, and really fitting promises given to Daniel. Verse 13, but you go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. There are three things that Daniel is told here in verse 13, very similar to, and in fact, to the takeaway that we get from verse 9. First of all, go and do your duty. Go and be faithful. Go and follow the commands that I have given you. Secondly, we see this promise that your future is sure. Go and rest. You will have and you will stand in your allotted place. And so we see this promise that one day he will rest. And this is the promise that we see further carried out in this third thing that is spoken to him. Finally, this third thing that is said to Daniel that really has been woven through the entirety of the book of Daniel is this, both implicitly and explicitly, centrally and peripherally, we've seen this command, trust and be faithful. Trust in the God of heaven. Be faithful to the God of heaven, Yahweh. For his kingdom is one that will endure. The kingdoms of men will rise and fall, but the kingdom of God will endure to the end. This is the promise that is given to Daniel, and it is the same God of Daniel as we even prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper. It is the same God of Daniel who sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to be raised from the dead, so that those who are wise, those who have faith in him, those who endure to the end, might have eternal life in him. This is the promise that was given to Daniel. This is the promise that is given to us. And as we close our study of the book of Daniel, we see that though there is difficulty ahead of us, though there are those days that will not bring happiness and glamour and sunshine and roses, we know that our God is in control of all of them. We know that our God is a God who can deliver his people. And indeed, his promise is that he will deliver his people so that we might one day stand in our allotted place and rest. And this is the joy and the confidence of the book of Daniel. Father, thank you for this book, this difficult book, this mysterious book that while it is filled with promises and hope, is also filled with difficulty and promises of destruction, promises of being torn apart and cast aside, promises of hardship. Lord, this is a difficult truth that we have as your people, knowing that there will be hardship. Give us grace so that we might walk confidently and hope steadfastly in the promise that you gave to Daniel. Guide us so that we might go our way and be faithful with what you have given us and rest in the joy that one day we will stand before you as your people. What a great joy this is. We pray all this then in Christ's name. Amen.